الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفر ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم التثبت من الله والعجلة من الشيطان أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام والله سبحانه وتعالى يقول وبقوله يهتدي المهتدون Honorable ulama, respected elders and brothers in Islam, many times in society, be it on a family level or a community level, altercations, arguments, fights take place between people because when news reaches a person, some information reaches a person without verifying, a person without investigating and finding out, a person takes action. A person reacts. Sometimes it can be example between two brothers. One brother, the news reaching that my brother said such and such thing about me. Or sometimes between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. The mother-in-law, somebody informs the mother-in-law that the daughter made such and such comments about them. Sometimes between father and son. Sometimes between neighbors. Sometimes between two musallis in the masjid. One musalli heard that another musalli passed comments about me or my family or my business about my children. And now a person without finding out, a person without verifying, a person without investigating, a person reacts, a person takes action. And later on they realize that the news which reached them was not true. It was false, it was some misinformation. And they later on a person regrets in life. Regarding this, the importance of verifying and investigating, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, the importance of a person finding out, investigating, before a person reacts, before a person takes action. An incident had taken place in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a person by the name of Harith bin Dirar, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. At that time he was a disbeliever. He was actually the father-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Juwayriya radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Harith bin Dirar, he was her father and he was the leader of his tribe, the Banu Mustalik tribe. Anyway, he had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to him about Islam, gave him da'wah towards Islam, and he had accepted Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him da'wah towards the paying of zakat, and he accepted it. And thereafter he made a request to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Oh Rasulullah, O Prophet of Allah, I want to go back to my tribe to invite them towards Islam. And if they accept Islam, I'll invite them towards the fundamentals of Islam, including the paying of zakat. And if they accept this, then my request to you is that on a certain day, at a certain time, you send your messenger, you send your collector, we will gather the zakat of our entire tribe, our community, and we will hand it over to your messenger, to your collector." So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed. So Harith bin Dirar, the father-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went back to his tribe, he invited them towards Islam, they accepted Islam, invited them towards the zakat, they accepted it. Thereafter, the zakat was collected. On the specific day in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he would send his collector, they all left their town and they went to the outskirts of the town as a means of welcoming the collector of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the time being, in Medina Munawwara, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed another sahabi by the name of Walid bin Uqba radiyallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed him as the collector that you go to the Banu Mustalik tribe and you collect their zakat from them. So Walid bin Uqba left Medina Munawwara. as he was coming close to where this tribe lived, he remembered that in the days of Jahiliyyah, in the days of ignorance, there was some old hostility, there was enmity that existed between him and this tribe, meaning that they were his old enemies. He remembered the past prejudice between him and them. So now he had a bit of a negative mindset. So as he was coming close to the town, he noticed that they had already come out of the town. Remember, they were coming to welcome him. But as soon as he seen them there, he thought to himself, in fact, فَحَدَّثَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَنَّهُمْ يُرِيدُونَ قَتْلَهُ. Shaitan put this thought in his mind that you're going to collect zakat from them, but actually they're waiting outside to catch you and kill you because of the previous problems that had between yourselves. So immediately he took a U-turn and he left back for Madinah Munawwara. Anyway, this tribe, when they seen that, the same father-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Harith bin Dirar, he thinks to himself, how come? The collector was coming, all of a sudden he took a U-turn and he went back to Madinah Munawwara. So anyway, he assumed and he thought that maybe Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is angry with us on account of some reason. Therefore, maybe he sent a letter to that person calling him back. So Harith bin Dirar, he was the leader of the tribe, he called the other seniors of his tribe and told them, it seems that maybe Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is angry with us because of some reason or the other. Let us go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with our zakat to Madinah Munawwara and seek forgiveness for whatever wrong we might have done. So they leave the Banu Mustalik tribe and they go to Madinah Munawwara. As they come to Madinah Munawwara, Walid bin Uqba obviously reached there before them and he informed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "O Rasulullah, it seems those people had turned murtad. They had left in Islam. They have turned renegade and they were actually waiting to kill me. They were actually waiting to kill me." That's the information that he gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyway, when this tribe comes to Madinah Munawwara, they come before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees them, he's also wondering that how come these people have come? They have turned renegade. So these people, Walid Harith bin Dirar, the father-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he explains, "Oh Rasulullah, we have come here as Muslims to Madinah Munawwara, and we were waiting outside our town, waiting for a collector to come. He came close, but thereafter he took a U-turn and returned to Madinah Munawwara. Oh Rasulullah, it seems that maybe you are angry with us on some account or the other. Wa inna na'udhu billahi min ghadabihi wa ghadabi rasuli." And we seek protection in Allah from the anger of Allah and from the anger of the Rasul of Allah, meaning from your anger, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got two contradictory stories here. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not take action as yet. Rather, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Let me send a person to investigate and see you which of the two stories tie up." Anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called for Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that take a group, take a jama'at, take an army, and thereafter go to the Banu Mustalik tribe. But before you enter the tribe, before you enter their hometown, rather wait and camp on the outside at night and send some spies on the inside in the town to see that are they still Muslim or not. So Khalid bin Walid went with this tribe, and Rasulullah went with his army to this tribe. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, وَأَمَرَهُ أَيْ يَتَثَبَّتْ وَلَا يُعَجِّلْ. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that when you're going there, don't just hasten and rush and go and kill all of them, but rather investigate and verify first and see are they Muslim or not. So Khalid bin Walid, he goes with his jamaat, and they camp outside the town of the Banu Mustalik. And Khalid bin Walid sent his spies at night. So the spies go from the outside. The first thing they hear is the adhan of Maghrib. They hear the adhan of Maghrib and they see people are performing Maghrib Salah. After a while, the adhan of Isha goes. People perform Isha Salah. Anyway, they come back and report to Khalid bin Walid. Khalid bin Walid, the next morning, he goes to the tribe and he sees that they are all Muslim. They make salam to him and they're all practicing on Islam. Anyway, he informs him that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has sent me, and they hand over the zakat to Khalid bin Walid. And thereafter, Khalid bin Walid comes to Madinah Munawwara. As he comes to Madinah Munawwara before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wahi revelation begins to descend upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which Allah revealed the ayat of Surah Al-Hujarat, يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين. When which Allah Ta'ala revealed, O you who believe, if a fasiq, if an open sinner comes to you with any information, فَتَبَيَّنُوا, then verify, investigate, find out if it's true or not, before reacting, before taking action, before a person responds, find out, investigate. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, why? أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ, lest you cause harm unknowingly, unintentionally, to such a group of people who are completely innocent of the accusations which were made against them. So Allah Ta'ala is telling us here that if you just act and respond before finding out, before verifying, later on you'll regret it. When the truth comes out, you'll regret that why did you cause harm to them, because they are completely innocent of the accusations which are being made against them. So this ayat was revealed regarding this incident, and remember, the person who brought the information to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Walid bin Uqba radiallahu anhu. He's a senior sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just one thing we'd like to clarify: Allah Ta'ala in this ayat uses the word in ja'akum fasiqun, which translates as if an open sinner comes with any news, then verify. So, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu is senior sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Walid bin Uqba is senior sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He brought the information to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he was not a fasiq. He was not an open sinner. Because our aqidah, our belief is, as-sahabatu kulluhum adul. That all the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are righteous. They are regarded to be pious. They are all pious people. None of them are regarded to be open sinners. Yes, they might have sinned, but they won't be labeled a fasiq. So the question is, why did Allah Ta'ala use this word in the Quran? Rather, the meaning of the ayat is that when Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, when Walid bin Uqba radiallahu anhu brought this information to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was a sahabi. But due to some external reason, His information did not seem correct. His information did not seem correct. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not react. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not take any steps until Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Khalid bin Walid, another sahabi, with a jamaat to go and verify and find out is the information true or not. So, if this is the case, regarding a pious, righteous person, when he brings any news to you, then you must still verify and investigate. Then, بَدَرْجَ أَوْلَى, meaning that this will apply even more when a sinner brings any information to you. بَدَرْجَ أَوْلَى, meaning this is more worthy of investigating and a person finding out before a person takes any steps. So it doesn't mean that only when a fasiq brings information you verify and found out. Rather, if any person brings any information and a person wants to react, but a person has any reservation whatsoever, he must investigate and find out before a person takes any steps. And this lesson is also found in the lives of the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Another incident I'll mention, which is found in Bukhari and Muslim Sharif, narrated on the authority of Jabir bin Samura radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The incident had taken place during the Khilafat of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, Amirul Mu'minin, who was the second Khalifa of Islam. Anyway, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had appointed a senior sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, as the governor of Kufa, which was one of the Islamic capitals of that time in Iraq. Anyway, the people of Kufa, shaka ahlul Kufa sa'dan. The people of Kufa, some of them came to Umar radiallahu anhu in Medina Munawwara to complain about their governor, Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard their complaints and fa'azzalahu wasta'mala alayhi ammaran. So while the investigation would be taking place, rather Umar radiallahu anhu heard their complaints, And while the investigation was taking place, Umar radiallahu anhu temporarily had removed Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas from governorship while he sent a group of people to find out that what is the reality of the situation. So, amongst the complaints of the people of Kufa against their governor Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas was, فَشَكَوْ حَتَّى ذَكَرُوا أَنَّهُ لَا يُحْسِنُ يُصَلِّي. Amongst the complaints was that Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas does not make imamat properly. He does not make imamat properly. So Umar radiallahu anhu called for Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas to Medina Munawwara, and Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, Ya Aba Ishaq, إِنَّ حَاوِلَا يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّكَ لَا تُحْسِنُ تُصَلِّي. That, O Sa'd, these people of Kufa, some of them have complained, leveled this accusation against you, that you're not making imamat properly, not performing salah properly. So Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, he answered, he defended himself. He said, Amma ana, fa wallahi fa inni kuntu usalli bihim salata Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am only performing salah for them as I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing salah. And thereafter he mentioned in detail that, for example, in Isha Salah, first two rakats, I lengthened the qirat. And the third and fourth rakat, last two rakats, I shortened the qirat, while we only have to recite Suratul Fatiha. So Umar radiallahu anhu said that, O Sa'd, that was exactly what I thought you would be doing. Anyway, Umar radiallahu anhu needed to send a group of people to investigate. He called for a person by the name of Muhammad bin Maslama radiallahu anhu and made him the Amir of a Jama'at to go to Kufa and do investigations. And he sent Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu with them. So these people went to Kufa, this Jama'at went to Kufa. And when they went to Kufa to begin their investigation, where did they start? They did not start with the bazaars or the streets of Kufa. Rather, they went from masjid to masjid in Kufa to ask people what is their opinion regarding Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, their governor. So they went from masjid to masjid, and people wayathnuna ma'rufa, that everyone, the musallis in different masjids, they all praise their governor Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. Hatta dakhalu masjidan li bani Absin. Until finally they came to one masjid of the Banu Abs tribe. So they asked the musallis of that masjid, what's your opinion regarding your governor? One person stands up. His name was Usama bin Qatada. He stands up. He had the title Abu Sa'da. He stands up and he tells the investigators that since you have asked us now, then yes, I've got three complaints regarding our governor. I've got three complaints regarding our governor. فَإِنَّ سَعْدًا كَانَ لَا يَسِيرُ بِالسَّرِيَّةِ. The first complaint is that Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, he sends jama'at in a part of Allah Ta'ala, but he himself does not go out in jihad. He sends others, but he doesn't go himself. Second complaint, a monetary complaint, finances. وَلَا يَقْسِمُ بِالسَّوِيَّةِ. That when the wealth comes in and he distributes money, he doesn't distribute justly and fairly. Rather, he favors some people over the other. And the third complaint, وَلَا يَعْدِلُ فِي الْقَضِيَّةِ. That when he sits to pass judgment, when he is passing judgment, he is arbitrating, mediating, then he doesn't pass judgment with justice. So these were the three complaints against their governor, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. So Sa'd radiallahu anhu, when he heard these complaints, قال سعد أما والله إني لأدعوان بثلاث. This time he did not defend himself. Sometimes sabr ki bardan bar jati hai. Sometimes a person makes sabr, he adopts patience, but sometimes the utensil of patience gets full. And now this person says, okay, now I'm handing my affairs over to Allah. So Sa'd radiallahu anhu, he said, you made three accusations against me, I'm going to make three du'as against you today. I'm going to make three du'as against you today. And thereafter he lifts his hands. Allahumma in kana abduka hadha kadiban, qama riya'an wa sum'atan, fa'atil umrahu wa atil faqrahu wa arridhu lil fitan. He stands up and he makes du'a. Before I mention the du'a of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, let us understand that Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, he wasn't any ordinary sahaba. In fact, every sahabi No sahabi is ordinary, but he was extraordinary, meaning extra special. Why? Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he himself says, وَإِنِّي لَثُلُثُ الْإِسْلَامِ, that I was amongst the first people ever to accept Islam. He says, I was the third person to accept Islam. Although other Islamic historians write, he was the sixth or seventh person to accept Islam. Besides that, he was also one of the Asharul Mubashara, one of those 10 Sahaba, who are the most 10 senior Sahaba, who received the glad tidings all at once from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was amongst the 10 most senior Sahaba. He was also Fatihul Iraq wal Madain, wa Madain Kisra. He was the conqueror of Iraq and the cities of Kisra, Madain of Kisra, which falls today on the Tigris River in Iraq. Plus, he was also Ahadu Sitta. When Umar radiallahu anhu was about to pass away, he appointed a shura of 6 Sahaba to choose and appoint an Amir amongst them. Sa'd bin Abu Waqqas was amongst those 6 people Umar radiallahu anhu had appointed as a shura to appoint a Khalifa and an Amir after Umar radiallahu anhu passes away. Besides that, Shahida Badran, he had also participated in the Battle of Badr. In fact, he was the maternal uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would boast regarding him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to tell the people, "Hada khali, fal yurini imrun khalahu," that this is my uncle, this is my maternal uncle. Can anyone show me if they got an uncle like my uncle? Imagine who is boasting. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is boasting regarding Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for him. Remember, he's lifting his hands to make dua here. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during his lifetime, he made a dua for his uncle. Allahumma saddid sahmatahu. That, oh Allah, my uncle, whenever he shoots an arrow in your path, oh Allah, make sure his arrow always hits the target. Make sure his arrow always hits the target. And why did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam make this dua for him? Because in Islam, from the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first sahabi who ever shot an arrow in Islam was this same sahabi, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for him, wa ajib da'watahu, that, oh Allah, whenever my uncle makes dua, oh Allah, you accept his duas. And wahabibu ila ibadik, oh Allah, you make him beloved to people. So he had the title of Mustajabu Da'wat. That whatever dua he made, it will be immediately accepted in the court of Allah. Anyway, back to the incident. When the three accusations were made against him, he stood up and he made dua. That, oh Allah, the first, if this person stood up today in the masjid to disgrace me, and he stood up to show off, فَأَطِلْ عُمْرَهُ, oh Allah, number one, give him a long life. But وَأَطِلْ فَقْرَهُ, oh Allah, let him live a life of poverty. Let him live a life of difficulty. وَأَرْضِدْهُ لِلْفِتَنِ, that, oh Allah, you test him with fitnas, trials and tribulations. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, he made these 3 duas and he walked away. He walked away. The narrator of the hadith, Abdul Malik bin Umair, he says that with the qasam of Allah, the same person, Usama bin Qatada, who woke up in the masjid and he accused Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, later on I saw him in life. He grew so old and he lived a life of such poverty. So old that his eyebrows would actually fall over his eyes. If he needed to see, he would have to pick up his eyebrows just to see and what fitnas he got involved in. وَإِنَّهُ لَيَتَعَرَّضُ لِلْجَوَارِ فِي الطُّرُقِ, that he would run around the streets of Kufa chasing the young girls. Involved in the fitna of zina. This is one of the greatest fitnas, trials and tribulations which Allah Ta'ala can test any of His servants with. So respected elders and brothers, therefore the topic, as we mentioned, is that a person verifies. Like Umar radiallahu anhu, when the accusations were made against Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, Umar radiallahu anhu sent a jama'ah to investigate, to verify, find out if it's true or not. In a similar way, when Walid bin Uqba, in the first incident which we mentioned, when he brought the information to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, due to external reasons, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood that something is not good, doesn't seem correct, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Khalid ibn Walid to investigate before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took action. So in a similar way as well, when anyone brings any information to us, before we react, before we take steps, let us first find out, because every piece of information is not necessarily true. Therefore, before reacting, let us investigate, verify and find out. And only after finding out the truth of, once the truth is ascertained, then we can take steps. Otherwise, as Allah Ta'ala mentions, فَتُصْبِهُ عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. Later on, a person will regret that why did I just do something and react, whereas the person who against whom I reacted and took steps is completely innocent of the accusations which were made against them. And here we learn as well, we should be very, very careful, especially regarding ulama, pious people as well, when we cast any aspersions or any false information and accusations against them. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned hadith found in Bukhari and Muslim Sharif, narrating the authority of Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, وَاتَّقِي دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ. وَاتَّقِي دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, beware of the badwa, of the curse of an oppressed person. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ بَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. Because there is no barrier between the dua and between Allah. Meaning Allah Ta'ala will accept the dua of that person. And even if that person is a non-Muslim, even if a person is a non-Muslim, that doesn't give us the license to usurp the rights of the person, oppress the person. Because other narrations also mention as well that if a person oppresses a non-Muslim and that person, he makes dua against you, that person curses you, then that curse, that badwa will also be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? This is oppression. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned regarding oppression as well, that اتَّقُوا الظُّلْمَ فَإِنَّ الظُّلْمَ ظُلُمَاتٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, beware of oppression, because oppression shall be a means of darkness and punishment for a person on the day of Qiyamah. And Allah ta'ala is just. Remember, even if justice is not meted on this in dunya, definitely justice will be meted out on the day of Qiyamah. So much so that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on the day of Qiyamah, whoever's rights were usurped, a person will have the ability, will be given the chance to take his rights against the zalim, the oppressor. So much so that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even if an animal without horns was oppressed by an animal with horns, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will let the hornless animal take revenge and extract equality from the animal with a horn which caused harm to it. Therefore, this is the condition of even animals. Then what will our condition be on the day of Qiyamah? One principle I'll end with. Remember, on the day of Qiyamah, a person will only be questioned whether he or she fulfilled the rights of others. You won't be questioned whether they fulfill your rights or not. Whether it is, for example, father and son, husband and wife, neighbors, whoever it might be. Our responsibility is just to fulfill the rights of others. Whether our hukuk and rights are fulfilled or not, we won't be questioned regarding that. But the system of Allah is, كَمَا تَدِينُ التُّدَانِ. When a person fulfills the rights of others, then Allah Ta'ala makes it such that they should also fulfill his or her rights in return. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to always verify and investigate before we react. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.